Hey, how's it going? I'm Nick, the host of the Echo Academy podcast, a podcast where we share the tools and strategies that make life better. This series is all about the road less traveled. And in this episode, we speak to Isabel Leong about her life as a digital nomad, including the good, the bad, and the wonderful about living a nomadic lifestyle. I hope you enjoy it. Is there a reason why you chose Mexico as your go-to now?
So just to recap the whole story, ever since I left Singapore, I left in October last year. And it was because of encouragement from my friends in the US. Just try to assure me that the situation there with COVID wasn't as bad and most people were keeping to themselves. And also, I had friends there who were happy to host me for as long as I wanted. That was bad plus just me being in Singapore for 8 months. So I went back in last year in during Chinese New Year. So by October, it was kind of like 8 months where I was in Singapore already, and I felt like I was going to go mental. And so, yeah, with this opportunity and all that, I decided to just buy that one-way ticket to fly to the US, to Seattle, to stay with my friend who's also a digital nomad. So from there, it was really, I didn't have any plans to travel at all given the situation. So I really just wanted to get outside of my comfort zone in Singapore, just be in a different environment, get more inspired, get more motivated to work. Because in Singapore, I'm like, every day is the same. I don't have anything to look forward to. So I'll just Netflix all day. Yeah. So, I mean, at least when I was in a different environment, like I had the weekends to explore, or just in a totally new, different environment and in a totally different headspace.
Yeah.
And so with that, when I was in the US, I had some opportunities to visit friends and then do some outdoor activities, just do, I guess, local stuff, things that you would do on a road trip kind of thing, not really visiting tourist attractions. So that in itself was attractive to me because I get to go outdoors and I get to explore different surroundings.
How did you get into this digital nomadic lifestyle? Like what inspired you to get into
it? So it started before I started coming into the workforce, when I was still studying and, like, you know, projecting myself in the future. I've always wanted to, I guess my exchange helped with that. It opened my eyes to just different alternative lifestyles. I would see, compared to being in Singapore where most people would just transition into corporate life, when I was overseas, I was studying in France, so I managed to visit Central and West Europe. And while doing that, I was meeting different people. I was couch surfing there as well on a student's budget. And so I was able to meet people that do various occupations like musicians and artists, just different alternative lifestyles. And so that kind of broadened, just opened my eyes to the possibilities of what was possible. And that was when I started my travel blog. And when the more I went into it, the more I realized that, oh, it's actually possible. There are actually travel bloggers out there who are doing this full time. And so I was kind of working towards it. But I mean, obviously, starting out as a fresh graduate, I had zero experience. And so I really just built up this whole experience of writing and doing digital marketing. And so I was working in agencies, doing social media and PR. And then eventually I did a working holiday. So I dedicated a whole half year to stay in New Zealand, work, and then travel there. After that, I was at a crossroads again, whether or not to come back to Singapore and find a full-time job or try and make this whole travel blog work. So by then I was already blogging 3 years into it. And so I decided to just dedicate 3 months and see if it works out. If it doesn't, then I can always come back and back to being a corporate slave again. Yeah. So
that's interesting that you say that. Excuse me. That's interesting that you say that, because I'm curious, when you have these moments, like when you're at a crossroad like that, like what are the decisions you think about, or what are the things you think about so that you, that lead you to the decisions you make? How do you think about these, I mean, for lack of a better word, problem in your career?
Yeah. Of course, practicality comes into play, but I also take into account what I really wanted and what would really fill me. Because I know that, I mean, at least in my past working experiences, when I was just, when I had to just sit at a desk for 8 hours a day, the kind of emotions that I felt, yeah, and versus being able to be more flexible with my work, even if it means, like when I was working in a social media agency, they had a bit more flexibility and they allowed me to work while on vacation. So even that bit of flexibility gave me more motivation to work. So yeah, really a lot about inwardly asking myself what I really wanted and whether what I wanted is going to be feasible or not. Yeah. So like before I embarked on this whole full-time nomadic lifestyle, I made sure that I can put myself in a situation where what I'm earning would exceed my living expenses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you, like when you decide to take the leap, or maybe even before that, like do you think that is one of also the unintended benefits of COVID or the pandemic, you know, because now it seems like everyone is open to this idea of flexibility and remote working. And do you see more people having the opportunity to do what you do?
Yeah, definitely. It's really evident because, so somehow I ended in Mexico, right? And then I realized that there are a lot of people that came down from the US to just work in a different environment. Even though they can work back at home in the US, they would choose to work in Playa del Carmen with the rest of the nomads. And they range from like really any kind of occupation. I know somebody who's a software engineer. My friend from Seattle is actually a project manager. I know solopreneurs, like people who just run their own Etsy shops and still make it work.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely more acceptable now as well. So in terms of a freelancer finding a freelance job, it's also more acceptable, as in more and more businesses are open to just outsourcing work remotely.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I mean, not that the pandemic was a great thing to happen, but it did provide this luxury or this window that just suddenly opened, and now, you know, people have that freedom, right?
For sure.
Does it ever get lonely though? I mean, because you meet friends, but at the same time, you know, it's by definition, please correct me if I'm wrong, by definition, a nomadic lifestyle means nothing is permanent. So therefore, like, roots are not placed anywhere.
Yeah.
How does that affect you? How do you feel about that? Maybe you're cool with that.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way. I've been quite fortunate in that places that I've been to, or just the locations that I've based myself in, I have had friends that are together or close to me, so that I'm not fully alone. Like if I didn't know anybody in Brazil or Colombia or Canada, I wouldn't just throw myself into those places without this sort of friend, like without any sort of relationship that I have with the locals or something.
Yeah. So
yeah, I've been quite fortunate with having like digital nomad friends around, and then making friends while I'm here as well.
Yeah. who can probably then connect you with people from another country who might be interested in working in there.
Yeah. So kind of like going with the flow. So I didn't have plans to travel and all that, but because the friend that I was living with and working together with in Seattle just had an idea to go to Costa Rica, and so I just decided to tag along. And then from there, Mexico was the next country that was close by, where the borders were open and you didn't have to do a COVID test. And so that's how we just ended up here.
Yeah. In your experience so far, like, what is the most ideal place for a nomad to both work and still have like a adventurous lifestyle, I guess?
In terms of what are the qualities or what are the factors I'm looking for, or specific destinations?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I suppose maybe in terms of the what you are looking for specifically, I guess, like things that make it conducive for you to work. Mm. And then what are like the great places that is just like a beautiful place to live? And because, I mean, if you want to live in a place and if you're moving somewhere, ideally you want it to be ideal, right?
So, yeah, I know. Top of my mind would be Cape Town. So I was there in October last year. Just really, 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 really love it. And with the cost of living, the whole farmers market vibe, it's kind of like Australia in a way, but more toned down, more developing in a way, because that landscape, it has mountains, it has the beaches, and then it has small little cute towns as well. So there's a lot of diversity, and there's wildlife, and there's wine country areas as well. So there's a lot of diversity, and so I would really like to go back there, or if I can. The other one would be, I really like New Zealand, but I could be biased because I spent 6 months there, and I've got to have a taste of the local life. Everyone is so friendly, so helpful. Yeah. Where else? Yeah, I think these two will be the top two destinations that I'll be looking to move if I had the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Cape Town sounds amazing. I always love places where you have all the different elements
in
close proximity. Where's the mountains, the beaches, to the jungles.
Totally.
Yeah, available to explore if you want it,
right? Mm. Yeah, totally. That's what I'm looking for too. Like, I don't want to just be in a closed town. I want to have access to the outdoors or like lakes or beaches, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I did my exchange in Ecuador, and that was one of the reasons why I really loved that place for that very reason.
You know?
I could explore the mountains and trek the mountains, and then I went to the Amazon, which was always on my bucket list, so it was
cool.
And then also I went to the Galapagos, so it's just like one of those places, you know, like you just get to see everything and still be in the same country.
Totally agree.
What is the best experience you've ever had, you know, in your journey thus far as a nomadic digital nomad, rather?
I don't know, it's hard to say, because I guess it's the whole being open to new experiences, not having any expectations, so that whatever comes your way, it's an opportunity to experience something new.
Yeah.
And so it's the little things, I guess. Even meeting someone that you would not normally meet and just going exploring in their backyard. It's the little things that,
then maybe perhaps I can rephrase it a little. If there was like one story you had to tell someone, you know, like if they were like, oh, how's your travels been, and you're like, oh no, there's this one story like that had to come out in that conversation, what would it be?
Okay, I can tell you one crazy encounter I had. Remember I said that I was in Cape Town in October, and so I randomly met another fellow traveler from where I was staying, and he lives in San Francisco. We kind of had only a day or a day and a half to hang out, and then we would go separate ways in around South Africa. And then we were just keeping in touch on a not even regular, like every few months or maybe every month. It was just like a few courtesy, how are you, what's going on in your country kind of thing. And then just suddenly my trip to the US was booked last year, year end. And without any planning, everything just coincided, and we managed to meet up again and go on a road trip together. And that was totally unplanned because he had this block of leave on that particular week that I had spare time, and so we managed to make it work. So it's all these crazy little encounters, I feel, that makes me feel in disbelief sometimes.
Yeah. It sounds to me, I mean, even from our brief conversation so far, that you really love spontaneity, and that this idea that things just happen and you get to enjoy that moment.
Yeah, I wasn't originally like that. I think almost everyone in Singapore, we are brought up to like plan ahead. Your trip has to be planned from A to Z months in advance kind of thing. It took a while for me to really get used to planning my week, planning my time a week in advance. But I mean, with this whole nomadic lifestyle, it's really hard to plan ahead, especially with COVID. Everything is evolving daily, and yeah, sometimes because you're on the road so much, you just want to put pause on planning anything. So yeah, just going with the flow most of the time.
Wow. I want to focus a little on that, actually, because I think that's something that you could probably, you know, really help people with, in the sense that it's true. I guess maybe in general, I mean, we can't generalize, but at the same time, culturally, Singapore is one that plans, right? Just it's almost in our DNA because of our history. But I mean, I'm sure there are other countries. I mean, I do have listeners from around the world, but you know, who plan their lives, and maybe you can talk about how long or what it took for you to start to maybe live a little bit more in the moment rather than focus too much on the planning.
Yeah, sure. So I would say I've experienced both spectrum, and I can say that when you really plan everything in detail, of course it's good because you will never have to plan on the go spontaneously, and you always know what's happening next. But also on the other hand, when things don't go your way, or when this certain location is supposed to turn out amazing and spectacular, but when you arrive at the destination, you realize that, oh, it's actually just a dump, then you get pretty disappointed with, I mean, like your expectations were this high and then it didn't meet your expectations, and the whole trip could have been ruined just because things didn't turn out as planned. So that's one thing with overt planning.
Yeah. That you get upset when it doesn't go your way. Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, in a way, yes.
Yeah. I think I can really relate to that as well. I remember when I was in Africa, in Tanzania, right? I had my passport stolen, and I think that was like the craziest ordeal, because the Singaporean embassy was in South Africa. So to get the temporary passport and stuff, you know, it was such an ordeal. Like, it took like 2-3 days just for me to get this my stuff in order for me to travel back to Singapore. And when I came back to Singapore, and then on hindsight, I realized like, wow, actually what a great adventure it was. You know, like you cannot plan for this, but you also get to experience everything you can about a country
because you have to figure it out on the go. And, you know, for me, that's one of like the most memorable experiences, even though during that time, I literally wanted to kill people. Like, it's so painful, everything.
When we're used to having everything go according to plan, it can feel like the world is coming to an end if it doesn't go according to your plan. Yeah. But it makes you more adaptable, I guess, when you're more open, or when you're more open to possibilities. It makes you more adaptable and just realize that life isn't as bad as you think it is when things don't go according to your way, because there's always alternatives and options.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I think that's something that I wish we learn faster, because I think these are things you learn with age and experience. Mm-hmm. But eventually, I think the most important thing is like we are really adaptable and flexible. And sometimes we need to play into that strength rather than just be like, oh, no, this is who I am. I need to just
put
it in this box.
In this, yeah. And also when you are exposed to a situation that is totally out of your control, that's when you realize how much more resilient you are than you think you are.
Yeah, that's true. Which I think is a great segue to a question I wanted to ask, which is like, you know, talking about things that are outside of your control, like what's, you speak about, you know, like, you know, the challenges of like traveling as a female and the risk and reward that come with that. Like, what are the challenges that you know, a woman faces, especially in this kind of lifestyle?
Safety would be a big one, I guess. Yeah, safety, because if I wanted to go to South America, I would have to think twice because of safety concerns, rather as opposed to a male backpacker who wants to go to South America. He probably has less resistance to go there. Yeah. And sometimes it depends on where you put yourself into as well. Like if I used to do couch surfing, and so sometimes I might be subject to sexual like advances. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean that's something that I guess males don't really have to experience unless the host is gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but these are just concerns that we would have to think about if, let's say, we wanted to stay in a stranger's place.
Yeah.
And yeah, just going out late at night or going to a bar alone, that sort of thing I would have to think twice about.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, right? Like, safety is actually such a privilege for us guys. And I don't want to sound like I'm dissing South America, but it's true, you know, like I felt safe, but by the same token, you know, like when I was there, like my female friends, like they always had to like look over their shoulder and stuff like that. And that's not a fun way to travel. You cannot just let your guard down, which is also what you
want to do, you know? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's pros and cons to traveling alone versus with friends also.
Yeah, that's true. Although it's a funny story, like there was a... Yeah, my mom listens to this podcast, so maybe I shouldn't say this, but actually, so what happened was I was actually... It was the day we were going to the Amazon, and so I had to take a 4:30 bus to the airport. And so I was just walking down my street to the bus stop, and there was a pickup truck just chugging behind me on the road. And you know, you kind of sense these things, but you don't really think too much. And what happened was it just pulled up next to me and behind in the pickup truck, and you know, they're sitting on the they all had balaclavas on, and I was like, okay, I guess today is the day, you know, like I mean it doesn't feel this way now, but I was so scared. I thought this is This was the end. And it just so happens that because the street that we were on, it was a row of houses, and just so happens that someone turned on their porch light. Mm-hmm. And then the truck just sped away.
Oh,
I thought to myself, wow, how lucky am I?
Oh my gosh. You're alone.
Yeah, I was alone. I mean, because up till that day, I felt super safe, you know. Because
wow.
You never feel threatened, especially if you're a guy, like you said, you know. And a guy, and I'm slightly on the bigger size. I stand out compared to the South American. So I never felt like I was in danger. But then if you put yourself in situations where you can easily become a victim, it becomes very hard to kind of escape that.
That's true,
but you know, it happens. I mean, it's the price you pay for the freedom you want as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's always just always good to be cautious when you're, I guess we're so used to safety and trusting that people will not do anything to you in Singapore that sometimes we tend to overlook that when we're overseas.
Yeah, that's true. What you know, as a nomadic or digital nomad, like, how do you plan? Like, do you ever see like setting down roots somewhere, or is it something that you kind of just figure out along the way?
I think I've always, part of wanting to travel more was also trying to look for environments where I feel like really comfortable and really loving it, and so it's kind of something that I've been subconsciously looking at or thinking about. It's definitely on my mind. Like, I wouldn't want to be constantly on the move also. And I have an idea what kind of setting or what kind of environment I would like to be in. I guess it's just waiting for the opportunity to come or just waiting for that one place that really pulls you in.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'm sure you'll find it at some point.
Yeah, when I go on my journeys.
Yeah, I've one final question before I let you go. Like, what is the most valuable life lesson you've gained from your experience so far?
I would say that friends are really important because they are your family away from home. So sometimes so I had this incident where it happened, a month ago, I guess, in a town called Playa del Carmen in Mexico. This was one of the, I guess, the highlight of my whole nomadic lifestyle, because the worst thing that could have happened, which is that my valuables, like my laptop and my wallet and my phone, everything just got stolen overnight. And because my whole work is on my laptop, it really felt like it was the end of the world. And so at that point of time, it was really whoever that was closest to me that was able to extend their help that really helped me to go through this. Yeah, so definitely it's good to have friends near.
Yeah,
and you also never realize people's kindness until something like that happens.
Yeah, that is really true, right?
Mm.
But it's also heartening, right? Like, at the same time, to realize that, you know, maybe even if they're not close or you wouldn't consider them like the best of friends, like,
yeah,
they would still go out of their way to help if you are in need. And that's a nice
thing. That's definitely something that I would never have expected. Like, I guess in Singapore, like if I were to be in Singapore, I would never be in such a situation where I'm so desperate for help. And so you never realize the importance of friends until such situations occur.
That is such a good point you made, you know. Like, if we're so privileged, we really never appreciate, you know, the things that we take for granted. I mean, yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and also that I feel like through this whole journey, you can be who you think you are. Like, I used to have lots of self-doubts about this job. Like, who would even call this a job? Because blogging is just a hobby to most people. I mean, when I first started out, I used to have friends that say, okay, so when are you planning to get a real job? And so, yeah. And so, like, sometimes being in Singapore, it makes me feel out of place, or like, or that I am not doing what I'm supposed to do. And so, yeah. And so, like, when I meet different people doing different things, even running an Etsy shop can be considered a job, a career.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's things like that. As long as you just believe in yourself and your work and what kind of difference you think you can make, it's actually possible to press on and to make it happen.
That's a cool one. It's always a good reminder, right? And I guess the next time if ever someone says, when are you going to get a real job, you can just tell them, when are you going to get a real life?
I know. I feel like everyone who doesn't live this lifestyle isn't living at all.
Yeah, you know, we should test our boundaries a little bit. Well, it's been a real pleasure. But for our listeners who might want to be interested in your travels and your journeys, like, what's the best way to get in touch or to connect or follow you?
Yeah, my website is bellaroundtheworld.com. I'm also on Instagram. It's bellaroundtheworld.
Gotcha. I'll put it in the description
so that I can connect with you. Yeah, for sure.
Thanks so much, Belle. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you too. Mm-hmm.